We are doing the Drashot Aran. We're up to page Kuf Lamed Hei in the Mosad Arav Kook edition. What page is that there? Omnam. Page Mem Tet. Yeah, in the Shalem edition. Omnam. So, the Ran had introduced us the phenomenal concept that Moshe Rabbeinu was prepared for prophecy at all times. The Ran had said that when Moshe had 7 days of preparation for the ascent to Sinai, those 6 or 7 days were really meant for us to learn the concept of preparing before we enter holiness. But for Moshe, really, he didn't need that, because Moshe was on a level where he was always ready for prophecy. And that's the point he's going to delve into now. Omnam heyot Moshe muchan becholet sheitnabe b'madriga gdola mimadrigat hanevuah. But this idea that Moshe was ready at all times to have prophecy on this high level of prophecy, hu inyan nifla, that's a tremendous concept, b'tzirich sheitver, and it requires explanation. How could it be that the human mind, when it's really together with the physical body, even if the body is being, so to speak, perfected, pashut over here means simplified, meaning that the person did not invest in the body. He's not investing high maintenance. His focus is on the spiritual. So if it would be a simple body, so I understand the body is less of a factor in the spiritual. And how much more so if the physical is more intricate. So, you know, it's a human body. It still has its own demands. That Moshe remained physical. You know, he was human. So how could he be so spiritual that he can get prophecy at any moment? Meaning, only when we deal with something physical, so then things that are physical, you always have a force and a counterforce, right? Newton always described equal and opposite forces. If I'm sitting on this table, so I'm exerting forces downward onto the chair, and the chair is exerting an equal and opposite force upward to keep me sitting here, right? So everything physical has forces that are constantly playing on it, equal and opposite forces. When we're going to describe something that's so spiritual that it never goes down, so then that has to be something that is not involved in equal and opposite forces. Meaning the human body, the human being is constantly dealing with forces. You're contending. You have to eat to keep yourself alive. You have to go to the bathroom to keep yourself healthy. You have to sleep so that you have strength. We're always dealing with forces. You have to contend with the elements of nature. But this is all physical. There's nothing wrong with it. That's the way it should be. But when we're talking about someone being spiritual and so spiritual that he's always connected to God, how could that be when he's still human? And a human being, because he's always contending with the forces of physical living, well, the forces of physical living demand of us to be dynamic. There has to be a certain element of change. Angels can always be connected to God because they don't involve change. They're not dealing with equal and opposite forces. They're not dealing with any forces. They're all spiritual. They're always connected to God. Human beings, well, we're always contending. We're contending with different things. It's part of living. You can't live without contending with nature and your needs and everything else. Well, then, if you're being dynamic, then part of being dynamic is that you have ups and you have downs, and then you're in constant motion, constant spiritual motion as well. And so how could it be that a human being who's living a physical life at the end of the day can have such a level of consistency in his spiritual life? He says that's something that we have to explain. Because on the surface, it seems impossible. It seems humanely impossible. This level of spiritual consistency, that's a level of angels. Things that are on that level, that are not contending with equal and opposite forces, that are not contending with the dynamics of a physical life. Okay, so they can have spiritual consistency. But things that are down here, down below, that are physical, it doesn't matter what within nature. Doesn't matter if it's an intricate creation or a simple creation. At the end of the day, they are contending with the forces of nature, which means they are dynamic, which means that they involve change. Part of living a physical life means you're contending with change. If you're contending with change, then what's to be expected is that you're going to have ups and downs, and you cannot maintain a spiritual consistency. You're going to have growth, but then you're going to have weakness. You're going to have a graph. You guys know how graphs work, right? There's up, there's down, there's up, there's down. Even if there's a trend, there has to be an up and a down. אם מן ההפכים הנמצאים בתוכם, או אם הם מורכבים, או מן ההפכים הנמצאים חוץ עליהם, גם אם יהיו פשוטים, meaning it could be internal conflict, it could be external conflict. כמו שהתפלו והשתנו המים והאוויר, כל אחד מהם מחברו, אם יהיו אותם פשוטים. Even if you take the most simple elements, air and water, they're not constant. You take the most basic things in the physical world. The water is constantly in flux, you have waves, you have water evaporating, right? You guys know, it's basic nature, right? It's basic science. Even water, there's a constant pressure, air pressure, that keeps water from evaporating. If there's enough force from beneath, then the water starts evaporating. You take the water up to higher levels, the water evaporates at lower temperatures, but there's constantly forces that are at play. Anything physical is constantly living a dynamic life and contending with the forces of nature. Ve'im ken, and if so, Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom. So then if we analyze Moshe, our teacher, peace be upon him, Shaya bal guf, at the end of the day, Moshe was, he had a physical body, Murkav ma'al ba'yisodot, his physical body was composed of the four base elements, Echi yesh nimtza b'chol itotav shaveh, how could it be that Moshe, who at the end of the day was a physical human being, how could it be that he maintained this consistency that he could always be ready for prophecy? That's a concept that needs explanation. Ze pele atzum over chok teva. He says this is a tremendous miracle, something that's beyond the laws of nature. So the first point that we should take from this, before he answers this, is that if you come to yeshiva and you have bad days and you have ups and you have downs, you should know that's because you're human. The Ran says, anyone who does not have a down, well then you got to look at him and ask, wait a second, is he human? That's not normal. He says that's not normal. When we say that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to maintain consistency, to maintain spiritual consistency without a down, that's something that needs analysis because it doesn't make sense. We can't understand it. You guys with me? That just for this point, it was worth coming here this morning. Just to know this point. The Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Huttner, writes in his work, the Pachad Yitzchak, in his essays, he says that he's not for reading biographies, because he says when they write biographies of big tzaddikim, they only tell you their good days. They don't tell you their bad days. And everyone had bad days. And if you read a biography, you walk away thinking, I'll never be so great, because you know all the greats, they only had good days. And that's not true. There's no such thing as a human being who didn't have a bad day. People have bad days and bad hours, and have their ups and have their downs. But when you write a biography, that's not what you're going to tell people, right? So people walk away from the biography and they only hear about how at age 5 he already mastered Tanakh, and at age 7 he mastered Mishnah, and by age 10 he was paskening for the whole town. But they don't tell you how at age 9 he got upset at his neighbor and he threw a baseball bat through his window. That they don't tell you. They don't tell you about how he used all this brilliance to do all kinds of other mischievous things. That they don't tell you. They don't tell you, but it is a part of history. You know, one of the big rabbis in the United States today, when he was a kid, he attached a siren to his bike, and he rode down the streets with he attached a police siren to his bike, and he'd ride down the streets flying down on all the cars. You know, in the United States, the cars move to the side when they hear a siren. All the cars would get out of his way, and he'd go flying down the streets. They don't tell you that. He tells you that. You know, he tells it in his speeches when he was a kid. He'd do something, and then his parents would get upset at him, and he'd run and lock himself into the car. He'd say, "You can't touch me. It's muktzah. You're not allowed to touch the car." You know, okay. He tells you these stories about himself in his speeches. He tells it to the parents so that parents will be calm. Even if their kids are mischievous, they should know that good things could come out of them. I know one of the big Talmid Chacham in Jerusalem today. They couldn't keep him in a classroom. I know. I was in the high school he was in. The guy couldn't sit still for a minute. He'd be wandering the halls. I mean, he'd be threatening teachers. Don't touch me. I'm not walking into class. He'd be a wild animal, you know. And his parents were smart. They realized the kid needed more patience, and they let him roam the halls. You know, they let him. The kid couldn't sit still. Be running up and down and through the forest. And he finished high school, and I don't know if he knew anything. You know, then he decided it's time to buckle down. Went to yeshiva, started from scratch, and today is a big Talmud Chacham. He took all those strengths and applied them, but that's because his parents had the patience to wait for him to apply them. His parents, his teachers, he was lucky. His father was a rabbi in the high school, so his father just told the teachers, let him go. You just pass him to the next class. It's okay. His father had the patience for it. Today you see him with a long beard and he's mastered Shas and he's a big Talmud Chacham. Today you think, oh, you'll hear all the fantastic stories about his success and no one's going to tell you where he was throughout his elementary school and high school. I could tell you, I saw it. So the Ran says this is miraculous. For a person to have such spiritual consistency is something that needs explanation because it's not normal. That tshuva. So the answer is, says the Ran, ki umnam nevuat Moshe Rabbeinu haya davar nisi, that really Moshe's prophecy was really miraculous. It's different than other prophets. A human being, when it comes to his own nature, cannot attain that level. It was one of the miracles of creation. It was one of the miracles in the world. That's why the Pasuk testifies, no prophet ever stood like Moshe. And the verse is telling us not only that no prophet ever stood like Moshe, but that no prophet again will ever stand like Moshe. The verse says, "Lo kam naviod kemoshe, kimilat kam." When it says no prophet stood, the word "kam" omedet mimkom hove mishamish la'avar ve'la'atid. He says the word "kam" doesn't only mean no prophet ever stood, but the word "kam" means past, present, and future. No prophet ever stands like Moshe. It's the present active. It includes past, present, and future. He says this is a grammatical truth. And being that the Torah is eternal, amar velo kam. That's why the Torah could say there never stands. Shebechol zman gam lachonim sheyiyu yaidu v'yomru velo kam. That's the Torah can say that there's never a prophet like that. V'hu k'mon. It's as though the Torah would say v'lo yakum od mi sheyizkel madrigato. No one will ever stand who will merit this level. V'ilu madrigato efsharit. And if that level were something that were within the human reach, so then lama yomar katubken? Why would the pasuk say no human being will ever attain this again? If Moshe's level was just Moshe perfected it, you know, he did his best, and anyone else who does their best can get there, then the pasuk wouldn't attest to this and say there's never going to be a prophet like him. To all those people who showed up in the last few minutes, you should know there's a bag of cookies and rugelach back there. Guys, pass it around. Let them have some too there. Hine Hashem yitbarach tov u'meitiv lakol. God is good and He does good to all. Lo yimna tov mibe'alav. God doesn't withhold good from those who can have it. Aval hodiyenu shu inyan bilti efshari b'chok ha'adam. What that pasuk was saying, when the pasuk says in the end of Torah, there never stands a prophet like Moshe, the pasuk is technically telling us that Moshe's prophecy is beyond the human capacity. It's beyond what the nature of man can attain. V'ratza lizkot bazeh Moshe Rabbeinu letoelet ha'Torah. What God did was God gave Moshe this capacity for the sake of the Torah. V'lo ratza lizakot ba'acher. And God wasn't about to give that to anyone else. So the Ran just told us a phenomenal concept. Ran just said, to maintain a spiritual high on a consistent basis is inhumane. It's not humanly possible. Human beings have ups and downs. In passing, the Ran really can be used. You know, this concept that the Ran just taught us can help us understand a concept that it says in the Medrash. Usually it's attributed to Maimonides in Mor Nevuchim, but really it's a Medrash, I think, in Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer. I think the Medrash says it, that Moshe Rabbeinu had unique prophecy. The Medrash enumerates the uniqueness of Moshe's prophecy. One of the unique points, it for sure says it in Mor Nevuchim, and I think it also says it over there in the Medrash Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer, that Moshe was the only prophet who maintained the level of prophecy till the moment he died. Every other prophet before dying lost their prophecy. They couldn't hold on to it. At some point they lost it. Moshe was the only one who had it till death. Well, now we understand. Hey, as the dynamics of life pull a person, wind the person down, so to speak, so then a person loses his prophecy. Moshe Rabbeinu was given this gift, this miracle, that he could maintain a spiritual high. But that was miraculous, says the Ran. Omnam, ech baze ha'inyan ha'nifla l'Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha'shalom. How did this miracle happen to Moshe? Achshov sha'ya al derech sha'aver. I think it worked the way I will explain. It worked as follows, and that Be'ezrat Hashem, we'll learn that Be'ezrat Hashem next week.